Let me ask you a question. How many of you need a turnaround today? I've got a feeling there's some of us today in this place that need a turnaround. And you may not need a turnaround, but you know somebody that does need a turnaround. I came to tell you today, God is able to turn things around for you. You believe God's able to turn things around for you? How many believe God's able to turn things around for you? Some of you need a turnaround, don't you? You know, God, no doubt the Lord's placed this message on my heart because there's some of us today going to get a turnaround. I wonder who's going to be brave enough and who's going to be bold enough and who's going to believe God enough to say, bless God, I'm going to believe God is going to turn things around in my situation. You might need a turnaround in your job. You might need a turnaround in your attitude. How many have been walking around lately with needing an AA, an attitude of adjustment. I don't know about y'all, but every once in a while, I need an attitude adjustment. There may be some of you today that you need a relationship turnaround. They're just things aren't quite right with your family, and you need a turnaround. I'll tell you, praise the Lord is able to turn things around. Some of you have been feeling insecure lately, hadn't you? You've been feeling worrying, and you've been worrying more than you know that's really you should be worrying. And today God says there's a turnaround for you today. Our God can do it because there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing impossible for God. God's able to turn things around. And I don't believe the Lord would have put this message on my heart if there's not going to be at least one or two or several people in the house of God today that are going to have a turnaround. So you just might as well say, thank God, God's going to turn some things around in my life. And speaking of turnarounds, I heard about a preacher that needed a turnaround. He was a young preacher early in the ministry, real young, and he had a problem with directions. Why, he couldn't find where he was supposed to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lately, sometimes you get to going in different places and can't find where you're going. Well, this particular young preacher, he was asked to preach a funeral, actually, and he didn't know exactly the location, so he was wandering around here, there, and yonder, and finally, it was supposed to be about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and finally, he needed to turn around, and so he turned around, and finally, he found a place where he saw this freshly dug grave, and or what he thought was, there was just dirt on the ground, and it was about 1:15 when he finally found that particular place. Well, everybody had gone except for a few folks were sitting under a tree back behind where the place was at. So he said, well, bless the Lord, I'm just going to get out here anyway, and I'm just going to go ahead and preach as if everybody would have been here. So he got his Bible out. He saw the freshly dug dirt, and he got his Bible out. He opened to Psalm 23, began to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then he closed his Bible, and he prayed. He said, as he prayed, he got his way, made his way back to his car, and he looked over and he saw these men up under the shade tree where he had just been standing. They looked at each other. They said, you know what? Shaking their hands, head. They said, we've been, one man said to another, he said, man, I've been putting in septic tanks for 30 years and I've never seen anything quite like this before, ever. Sometimes we need to turn around. And I think there's some of us that really need to turn around. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. This is the message God's placed on my heart. And as you turn to Isaiah 61, would you stand to your feet as we read the infallible, inerrant, unbreakable, eternal, written word of God. Isaiah 61. This is a new passage. I've never preached from Isaiah before, but God has been quickening this in my heart. And I'm praying the Lord will turn some things around for you and for me. That's the message today. The title of the message is Turn Around. Time for a turnaround. And you know who you are. You need a turnaround. Look at Isaiah 61. Now, as we dive into the text of Isaiah 61, you will recognize right up front, Isaiah was a prophet of God. And Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, could be categorized as a mini Bible. Why? Because there's 66 books in the Bible. And here in Isaiah, there are 39 in the Old Testament, you know, in the canonization of Scripture, and 27 in the New Testament, that is in the Bible. However, in Isaiah, there are 39 chapters in Isaiah that have to do with God's judgment concerning the southern kingdom of Judah. And then 27, the last chapters of the book of Isaiah, have to do with God's promise that God was going to send a Messiah, a promised one. And we pick up in Isaiah chapter 61, certainly these verses have been fulfilled with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, at the same time, there are secondary applications that I think God is going to speak to you and to me today concerning Isaiah 61. So if you're in Isaiah 61, would you say amen? The Spirit of the Lord
God is upon me,
because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted,
and to proclaim
liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now really zero in and get your pencil out or pen and notice verse 3. Here's where the text will come from today. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you see those three items? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Again, for the way of emphasis, look at verse number 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, here it is, beauty for ashes. Number 2, the oil of joy for mourning. Number 3, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let's pray. Father, now in Jesus' name, we worship you because you're a living God. We thank you you've overcome death, hell, sin, and the grave. We praise you that you live forevermore. And we come in the name above every other name, and through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Father, recognizing outside of you we're nothing and can do nothing. But Lord, we praise you through you. We have all in abound. We thank you for the word of God. We praise you for your Holy Spirit. We praise you for victory in Jesus. And I pray now, Father, you'll take these lips of clay and put your anointing on not only the preacher, but Father, the hearers of the word of God. Lord, give us receptive hearts. Lord, quicken the word in our heart. Now, Lord, I believe that some of us here today need a turnaround, and I'm praying for the much more. I'm asking you, Father, to break through the barriers. I'm praying, God, that there'll be, Lord, victories won, heaven is lifted up, and Father, that you'll get the glory for it. We trust you now. We look to you now. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to meet every need, those that are grieving, those that are hurting, those that God feel like they're spinning their wheels and they can't get anywhere. We ask you, Father, to rebuild the broken down walls. Break through the barriers, Lord. Stretch forth your hand of power. Oh God, we're in desperate need, Father, as you already know, for a Holy Ghost, heaven sent, sin killing, devil defying revival. And I pray, God, it'll start in my heart, sweep across this community, out into the uttermost parts of America, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. We love you, Lord, today because you loved us first. I thank you, God, for, again, your precious cleansing blood. And, Father, we just stand on your promises today. Lord, I pray for those that are here that aren't ready to meet you. God, you'll just draw them by the Holy Spirit. And you'll, Lord, help them to open their heart, receive you as their Lord and Savior. And then those of us, Father, who've been saved by your grace, snatched from the pits of a devil's hell and brought into your marvelous kingdom, I ask you, God, to Lord, fan the flames of faith in our heart. Help us to keep on keeping on. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, we just want to again surrender this time to you. Pray that you be high lifted up. And through it all, Jesus, you be praised, you be glorified. Give us grace right now, Lord, to take our eyes off our circumstances, to take our minds off of what we got planned today or yesterday or tomorrow. But Father, give us, Lord, listening ears and obedient hearts and yielded spirits. And we thank you now for what you've been up to and what you've been doing. Lord, it's just so good to be a part of your family. And we'll praise you now for what you're going to do, because you alone are worthy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. The three places we want to go today, three places a turnaround. Three places for a turnaround. Number one, did you notice in verse 3 that Isaiah said, by the way, before I mention that, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus took Isaiah 61 when he stood up in the temple, the synagogue, to preach. He turned and he said, for example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He quoted from Isaiah 61. But what we want to do today, I believe the Lord wants to take us three places. Are you ready to write them down? Three places. Here's where God wants to take us today. Three places. Number one, the place of beautification. The place of beautification. In verse 3, Isaiah said he would turn around our ashes for beauty. You see it? Ashes for beauty. A place of beautification. Number two, not only beautification, but a place of jubilation. A place of jubilation. You see that in verse 3? He's not only going to turn our ashes into beauty, but he said he would take our mourning and turn it into all of joy. All of joy. Jubilation. Number three, as a third place that the Lord wants us to travel today, and it's namely this. It's found in verse 3. We go from first beautification to jubilation, and then thirdly to celebration. Look at it, celebration. He said, I'm going to take you from that garments of heaviness. Let me just stop right there. How many of you lately have felt spirits of oppression and spirits of depression? God says, I'm going to take you from the spirit of heaviness to a garments of praise. Are you ready to travel on the journey as we see God bring about a turnaround? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I believe there's some of us today that need a turnaround. As I said in the earlier the message, and what kind of turnaround, Brother Pastor? Number one, travel with me to the place of beautification. God said this. Are you going to believe him? Are you going to trust him? Are you going to say, God, I know that's a word for me. I know I can believe you. How many believe that God can be trusted? How many believe that you can trust the Lord? How many believe that if you ask God and trust him according to his will, he'll do what he said he'll do, because he's a covenant-keeping God? I'm so glad to tell you today that God cannot lie. He's not a man that he can lie. He's God. He will not share his glory with another, and he has much more for you and for me today if we'll trust him, if we'll believe him. It's the hand of faith that rises up and says, bless God, God said it. It's the eye of faith that says, Lord, I know that you're well able. And it's the heart of faith that hangs on the promises of God. I just got a feeling there's a lot of God's people that we're selling God short. We're not entering into the holiest of all. We're not launching out into the deep water. I'm here to tell you what we're living on is bread and water, and God's got the much more for us. Is there anybody here that'll stand up and say, praise God, God, I'm going to trust you for the much more. Amen and amen and amen. Number one, the place of beauty. Beautification. God says, I'll turn your ashes into beauty. Now, of course, the original meaning from the contextual point of view is none other than to Israel. And that turning would be turning their judgment, because they had turned from holy God and they had sown to themselves the flesh and reaped corruption. And God says, I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to send you a Messiah, a Mashiach, a promised one. Certainly this was fulfilled in the first coming of our Lord Jesus. By the way, God's not finished with Israel, according to Romans 9, Romans 10, and Romans 11. And according to the book of Revelation, God's going to still fulfill his Abrahamic covenant and his Davidic covenant. You can mark her down that Jesus is going to reign on a throne for 1,000 years, and I say, even so come, Lord Jesus. The place of beautification. He said, I'm going to turn your ashes into beauty. Now, did you notice that man always works from the outside in, but God works from the inside out? We try to beautify the outside. Look at all the billions of dollars that are spent on trying to fix up the outside. But God says, I start on the inside. He starts on the inside and goes out. Speaking of the inside out, I heard about a lady who was a grandmother who was putting on some cream on her face. Her little old 3-year-old granddaughter was watching every move that grandma was making, putting this cream on her face. And the little girl, the little granddaughter said, "Granny, what are you doing?" Grandmother said, "Honey, I'm putting some beautification on my face. I'm beautifying my face." The little granddaughter said, "Okay." And about 5 minutes later, the grandmother started wiping it off her face and cleaning her face off. The little granddaughter said, "Granny, what happened? Did you give up? It must not be working." I don't know about that, but I know this. Praise God, we work on the outside, but God works on the inside. We spend billions of dollars trying to fix up the outside, this old earth suit, but I got news for you. Every one of us are going to have to, unless the Lord comes back again, this old body's going to go back to the dust. And I want you to know it will be raised a new glorified body. But wait a minute, I've got news for you. This old body, the Bible says, it's wearing out. We're not getting younger, we're getting older. But wait a minute. The good news is our inner man's being renewed day by day. I said our outer man's perishing, but our inner man's being renewed day by day. Did you hear about old Sam Pease? Speaking of the inner man being renewed, Sam Pease, not P-E-A-S, rather P-E-A-S-E. Here's what he put on his epitaph. And to illustrate the point, he said on this epitaph, that is his tombstone, he said, "Here lies Sam Pease, P-E-A-S-E. Here lies Sam Pease beneath the sod. It's not really peas, it's just the pod. A pod shelled out, or a pea shelled out and went to God." Bottom line is our outer man's perishing, but God said our spirit's going to be one day ushered into glory. I believe that Kathy is in heaven today. How do I know that? Because I stood right back there, right where Samantha's sitting. I stood right back there about a year ago. I'm talking about in April a year ago. I stood back here, and I'd never met her before in my life, and I met her and Junior at our Easter celebration. And I sensed the Lord, she wanted to talk with me. She wanted to stay back. Everybody else had left. She stood back there, a lady that's 53 years old. I shook her hand. I said, "Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever passed from death into life? Do you know that you know that you know? By the way, religion will send you to hell. You better have a relationship with God." I'm telling you, there's a way that seemed right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Paul said they'd have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof in the last days. And there's a lot of people that are playing church these days. They're sitting in church and playing like they're Christian, but their lifestyle indicates they're not a child of God. I want you to know, when you're saved, bought with the blood of the Lamb, it'll make a difference in your life, and God changes our heart from an old hog heart to a sheep heart. Can I get an amen? Thank God. I asked Kathy, I said, "Kathy, are you saved? Are you born again? Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" She said, "I have." I said, "Well, praise God. Bless the Lord. You ought to praise God for that." And yet she was still heavy-hearted. She shared some other things with me that I'm not going to. But nonetheless, I said, "Well, praise God, you got a home in heaven." Little did I know, a year later, 53 years old, she'd have a massive heart attack and die, and was ushered up into glory. I'm talking about a man that's sitting with us right now. His wife, been married. They just got married, by the way. And anyway, I'm talking about turning our ashes into beauty. Is there anybody here that the devil has burned down your hope and turned it into ashes? Why, you said, "I thought things would be different. Why, I thought this would happen," and your hope has been burned down. I came to tell you today, God can turn things around. God can rebuild the broken down walls of your hope. And has the devil burned down your vision? You said, "Man, I used to have a vision. I used to think this was going to happen. And I could see what could be and what should be, but the devil's burned down my vision." I came to tell you today that God's able to rebuild the broken down walls. God is able to turn your ashes into beauty. Is there anybody here that says, "Man, I haven't had any peace lately. I can't sleep at night"? Can I tell you, you don't have to take the pills to sleep at night. You just take the gospel to sleep at night. Why, you don't have to get drunk and drink and booze and all that stuff. You can sleep in Jesus and have peace that the world knows nothing about. Aren't you glad that God, when He saves us, He gives us a genuine Holy Ghost of God, and we can cope with the world and the problems in the world. We don't have to turn to drugs. We don't have to turn to alcohol. We don't have to turn to the things of the world. We've got God in us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Y'all don't act like you believe that. Amen. It's true. It's real. And some of you just need to get a hold of God today. And some of you just need to say, Lord, I've been troubled. I've been worried. I've been anxious about all this stuff. Instead of putting it at your feet, I'm absolutely burned down. My peace is burned down. My hope is burned down. My vision is burned down. Is there anybody here that God says, I'll take your ashes and turn them into beauty? Has your faith burned down? You say, I know God's real, and I know that He lives and rules, and I know about all that stuff, but I don't see Him today. I can't sense His presence today. I want you to know, God said, I'll turn your beauty into ashes. Our Lord can live again in your heart. No, yes, He can. Yes, He can. And so, number one, the first place is God says, I'm going to turn things around in your life. You've been doubting me too long. You've been exercising unbelief too long. You've been flirting with the world too long. But God says, today is a new day, and this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He said, I've got to turn around for you from ashes to beauty. And then I had the privilege of talking with a young man this week. Here's what he told me. He said, Pastor, there was a time in my life. This man's in his 40s. He said, Pastor, there was a time in my life. Every day when I got off work, I went straight to the bar. I went to the bar and I drank and I drank and I drank. I had to have my beer every day. He said, I was not saved at the time. He said, I had to have this drink. I shared with you just a moment ago. Certainly God carries us through some troubles and trials in our life. But we don't have to let booze consume us. We don't have to flirt with the devil's tools. No, sir. I'm talking about a genuine relationship with the living God. Power over sin. And here's what one young man told me this week. He said, Pastor, he said, I was on drugs for a number of years. I took methamphetamines and all this stuff. He said, but praise God, that life of hopelessness, that life of emptiness, that life that did not have purpose in it, I've discovered Jesus is the only one. Hear me. He said, I've discovered Jesus is the only one that can bring unconditional love, purpose, and can bring hope, and can bring fulfillment in life. Is there anybody here that say, Brother Pastor, I agree. Had it not have been for Jesus saving my soul, I'd be out there just like the world. That's right. Watch this. He said, now I've got hope. My hope had been burned down. God is a God of all hope. There's some of you today say, I'm never going to get over this physical ailment. God says, I'm the God of hope. Somebody today says, I'm not going to get over this debt. I can't pay my bills. I don't know if ever I'm going to get out. God said, there's a turnaround coming your way if you trust God. The altar and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you to do it. And consequently, this young man, thank God, he's got a hunger for God, a thirst for God. Bottom line, Jesus makes a difference. He really does. So going from the first place is that of beautification. Secondly, if you'll notice in Isaiah 61:3, he said that the Lord, this king, this Messiah would take us from ashes to beauty. Oh, praise God. And then he would take us. And by the way, how many know that old song? It comes to mind. You remember that old song? Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was broken memories. But he made something. Come on. Beautiful of my life. Can you say amen to that? I'm telling you, all I had to offer him was nothing. All I had to offer him was brokenness. All I had to offer him was absolutely zero. But I want you to know, my God stepped in my life. Jesus has come and given me life and given it more. Can y'all relate to what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I praise our Lord that he didn't give up on me. I thank God that he came and brought a confused and mixed up and hell-bound sinner and changed my heart and gave me joy unspeakable. I'm about to have a shouting spell. Give me joy unspeakable. No, I'm not what ought to be. Look at me. I'm not the finished product yet, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Glory, glory, glory. God says, I'll take that ashes and I'll make something beautiful out of it. But second place, if you'll notice, he said, I'll not only take you to the place of beautification, I'll take you to the place of jubilation. You see that again in verse 3? Look at it again. You need to see it. Verse 3, he said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, number one. Number two, the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. Is there anybody here that you've had tears of grief? I know Junior's had tears of grief. I know there's others in here that are mourning and still grieving. God says, I'll take this mourning, tears of grief and tears of regret. Is there anybody here that says, man, I just regret. I don't know about y'all, but I know there's some things that I look back on my life.
I certainly regret
not living every day for our Lord Jesus. Has God gotten you out of the hog pen? Has there been times in your life where you knew that you wasn't where you ought to be? And God, it was God that did it. God said, I'll take those tears
of regret.
Is there any mamas and daddies and grandparents in the house of God today? You've been weeping bucketfuls of tears for your boy, for your girl. God said, I'll take those tears. I'll take the mourning. I'll turn it into the oil of joy. I'll give you joy. I'll give you joy unspeakable, full of glory. I'll give you that deep abiding joy. I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Ghost imparts to us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and peace and joy. Oh yeah, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and meekness, temperance and self-control, as in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Oh, but wait a minute. I believe, hear me now, there's some of you today, see if you'll agree with me, there's some of you today, you're going through a season of testing. You're going
through a season of trial
in your life. You're in a storm right now. You say, God, is it ever going to end? I can't see my way clearly. I believe the Lord's saying today, I don't know to who. I don't know why God had this message in my heart, but there's somebody today, God's saying, I believe it, that you're going to turn your mourning into the oil of joy. Come out of this time of mourning. You've been sick for a long time. You've been weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God said, I'm going to turn some things around. I'm going to shift some things around. I believe God can do that. I know God can do it, and God says he's going to do it in somebody's life today. I'm going to turn some things around. You've been weeping long enough. You've been in tears long enough, and there's going to... I hear what you're saying. You say, well, yeah. But if my circumstances would change, I'd have joy. Wrong. If you can't rejoice in the Lord where you're at right now, you're not going to rejoice in the Lord when God turns things around. I'm telling you, God's the God of the good times, but he's still God in the bad times. God's the God of the night, but he's still God in the day. He's still God when we're on the mountain. He's God when we're in the valley. He's God in the good times and the bad times. And we ought to rejoice in him when we feel like it. We ought to rejoice in him when we don't feel like it. We ought to rejoice in him until we feel like it. The Lord is worthy of all praise. And some of us today, the devil's robbed us of our song. He's robbed us of our joy. We're taking our eyes off Jesus and looking at our circumstances. And the Lord's saying to you and to me today, take your eyes off of what's going on. Stop repeating all the bad things that are going on in your life. Stop rehearsing all the devil's tools and tactics. Start rejoicing in me. Start lifting up your eyes in the hills. Start getting in the Word and believing that God is well able. Yea, he's more than able to do that which is far abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Joy, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's say that together. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Say it again. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. In Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, in his presence, David said, is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, yeah. David also said, or at least the psalmist in Psalm 147, praise you the Lord. It's good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant and praise is comely. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 15 said this, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. God said there's a turnaround coming. You're going to go from the mourning state into a state of the all of joy. Oh yeah. Joy comes in the morning. How many believe that Romans 8:28 is still applicable and still real for today? Paul wrote in that great 8th chapter of Romans and said, and we know that all things work together for the good. It doesn't say all things work together. He doesn't say all things are good, but he says all things work together. There's some bad things going to happen in your life. There's going to be some trouble in your life. There's going to be some heartache in your life. There's going to be some disappointments in your life. But God said, I'm so big and I'm so great and I'm so mighty and I can be trusted so much that I'm in control. And God said, I'm going to work the bad things in your life. I'm going to work them for good. I'm going to bring about glory to my name. I'm going to make you more into the image of my Son. That's right. Those bad things happen in your life, God can use them for good. Speaking of that, I had the privilege of going down to Florida at First Baptist Altoona back a few months ago and preaching a revival camp meeting, and I told you all the story. On the way down, riding, and right in the middle of the road, in the highway, well, really the interstate, a ladder, right in the middle of the road. Man, I want you to know I couldn't avoid it. I was in that little bitty old car, that Honda Civic, and the car on this side, car, I just ran right over it. And I thud. Man, you know that feeling, thud. Ran over a ladder in the middle of the interstate. And I said, oh, my soul, it's probably ripped out the transmission. And I started coasting to the stop. I got down and looked up under it, and nothing was leaking. I said, hallelujah, Lord. And got on the road, and it was about 3-4 hours away from my destination to the church, First Baptist Altoona. Made my way to the church, and I kept hearing a noise. But anyway, I finally made it up there about 10 minutes before the revival meeting came driving up. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Got out of the car, slammed the door, and the bumper fell off. I got home. I mean, that's nothing a little bit of duct tape can't fix. Can I get an amen? I got some duct tape in it and put it and got it home, and when I got home, I said, Deanna said, how'd your trip go? I said, wonderful, hallelujah, God bless. And I drove all night, came into the morning, and she walked outside and saw the damage and put her hands on her hips. How many of you know that's not good? I said, don't worry, I'll fix it. I can fix it. How many know those words? I can fix it. You said them too, hadn't you? And so I said, I can fix it. Well, let's see, that was January. Let's see, February, March, April. It should be getting about time to fix the thing. Amen? So here it is, April. And I said, you know, I'll fix it. And so I went to the parts place and I said, man, do y'all got something that'll put a bumper back together? It's cracked in this place. They said, nope, you're going to have to take that thing down to the body shop and get it bondoed, and it's going to cost you about $500 or that. And I said, no, sir, I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to go that route. And so I went to this parts place and they said, well, what you need to do is you're going to have that thing bondoed. You're really going to have it bondoed. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to believe I've got something else that can do it. I really think that I'm not going to go that route. I thought and searched and wondered, what could I use? Nothing little Gorilla Glue can't fix. Hey, put a little old bead on that Gorilla Glue on it. Man, put one on this side and put one on this side. I said, praise the Lord. The old timers, you say, I was in hot, high cotton. Man, I got that thing glued up together. Now, the next project was this. Well, how am I going to paint that thing, or what am I going to do? So I said, all right, no big deal. I'll just go down to parts place and I'll get me a can of spray paint. Not a hard thing to do. But I went down there and they said, no, you just get any old can of spray paint, it'll stick out like a sore thumb. I said, are you sure? They said, yep, you can't just get any spray paint. You got to match it with a VIN number, whatever. And I said, all right. I went to this parked place. They didn't have it. Went to this parked place. Finally, after going to several parked places, I went to a paint store. I'm talking about all things working together for good. I'm talking about everything coming together. I can do it. I'll fix it. I know with the Lord's help, I can do it. And finally, I got down to the right paint place, and they said, what kind of VIN number you got on that car? And I gave them the number, and they said, well, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to mix this paint with this paint, and we're going to have to put some pearl in it and get it the right kind. They said, we're going to have to make up a brand new paint can out of the VIN, and it. So they took this paint and took this color paint and they took several things in it and put some pearl, so they told me, and put it in a can. The thing cost $25. But I want you to know, I went out there and sanded that baby down and I sprayed that baby down and I said, hallelujah, I can't wait to get home. I got home, I said, what do you think? And Deanna said, looks good. I'm going into the part-time paint and body shop, amen? I think I'm going to start a business, a paint and body shop. But here's the point. The point is, all things are working. I mean, that paint alone couldn't do it. It had to take this, and it had to take that, and it had to take this. God said, I'm going to turn your ashes into beauty. I'm going to turn your mourning into the oil of joy. The third place we'll travel in the text is this. From beautification to jubilation. And number three, finally, we'll go to the place of celebration. Look at this last part of chapter 61, verse 3. Look at this. In chapter 61, verse 3, he said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment. Here it is, number three. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Is there anybody here, you've been depressed for a long time? I asked you earlier, but let me ask you again. You've had a spirit of oppression. God says, it's just a season. I'm going to turn some things around. There's going to be a turnaround. I'm going to take that ashes and turn it into something beautiful. I'm going to take that mourning and turn it into the oil of joy. And then I'm going to take, number three, your spirit of heaviness. Those spirits of oppression and depression. The devil's tried to keep you bound down. I'm going to turn it into garments of praise. How many believe? I don't believe we praise the Lord enough. How many agree with me? I don't think we praise the Lord enough. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. That is, he actively gets involved in the praises of his people. You know, speaking of this text, Jesus said in Luke 4, I mentioned earlier, have you ever thought about it? Wondered if Jesus would be walking on planet Earth like he was 2,000 years ago. Wonder what would it be like? Well, he's walking in us, hallelujah, and he's all around us, hallelujah, and he's prepared. But what would it be like? You know what? I got to thinking about that. Somebody's well said, you know what? Jesus would be wanted. He'd be a wanted man. You know why he'd be wanted? Number one, he'd be wanted by the FDA. Why? Because he turned water into wine. Something bitter into something sweet. He gave them an invitation. He said, come on to the wedding. He gave them an invitation. He made a transformation. And then he said, here's the final destination. How many believe that God, watch this, don't miss it. God saves the best for last. I believe heaven's a real place. Heaven's a real place where there's no more sin and no more death and no more tears. God's going to take his great handkerchief one day and wipe away every tear. I'm telling you, the FDA would have wanted Jesus and said, you can't do that. You're not supposed to turn water into wine. I don't believe he got those folks drunk, by the way. No, sir, no, ma'am. I don't have time to deal with it right now. But all I know is this, he turned something bitter into something sweet, because that's what he did with my life. Number two, he had not only been wanted by the FDA, he had been wanted by the AMA. Who's the AMA? The medical world. They said, you can't practice medicine like this without a license. Why, he healed a blind man's eye in John chapter 9, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Why, he raised a man who was a paralytic for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. Impotence met omnipotence. The AMA would have said, you can't do that. Jesus would have been a marked man, a wanted man by the FDA, by the AMA. You know who else would have wanted him? The NEA would have wanted him. They said, you can't teach without a license. You can't teach without certification. The Bible says Jesus spoke with authority. No other man spoke like the Lord. Wait a minute, though. Can you hear me? I said it wasn't his teaching that saves us. It wasn't his miracles that save us. It was his blood. It was the blood of the living Lord. It was the blood of the Lamb of God that washes our sin away. But he'd have been wanted by the NEA. I'll tell you who else he'd have been wanted by. He'd have been wanted by the health department. Why? They say, you can't open graves. You can't raise the dead. You can't feed 5,000 in the wilderness. The health department. Man, could have wanted Jesus. OSHA would have wanted Jesus. Why? He walked on water without a life jacket. They said, you can't do that. He did it. The disciples were in a boat in Matthew chapter 14, and Jesus walking on the water. How many believe that he can still walk on the water? I know he can. He made the water. Did you hear about that man that had that special dog? That dog was a special dog indeed. And that dog, the man said, I want you to see meet my dog. He's a special dog. He said, watch him. He took a stick and threw it out there in the water. He wanted his friend to see the miracle working power of his dog. And that dog walked on the water out there to get that stick. I'm talking about walking on the water. Grabbed the stick, came back. The man said, watch. He threw it out there again. That dog went walking on the water again. Grabbed the stick and brought it back. The man said, what do you think? He grabbed the stick again, threw it out there again. That dog went walking on the water again, brought it back. And the man whose dog had just walked on the water, he looked at the other man and said, what do you think? The other man said, your dog can't swim. God help us. Isn't that the way like people are today, skeptics and atheists? But Jesus would have been wanted by OSHA. I'll tell you who else Jesus would have been wanted by. He'd have been wanted by the SPCA. Who is that? Why, you know why he'd have been wanted by the SPCA? He'd have been wanted not only he'd have wanted by the SPCA. You know why? Because he drove some hogs down a hill and drowned them in an ocean. Somebody said, that's where the swine flu. That's where it started, right there. The swine flu. They committed suicide right there. Suicide. You understand? There was a gathering demoniac was filled with demons.
And Jesus
demons. Money than the word of the man. God set him in his right mind. Jesus would have been wanted by the SPCA. I'll tell you who else Jesus would have been wanted by. The EPA. You know why he'd been wanted by the EPA? He killed a fig tree. You know, we got these tree huggers and spotted owl lovers and blue whale lovers. God help us to love souls more than we love animals. Can I get an amen? I didn't think it'd be very much. But the EPA, Jesus cursed a fig tree. Peter and John and those disciples walking to Jerusalem one day, and they noticed a tree and it didn't have fruit on it. And Jesus said, man, that fig tree might as well be cursed. They came back around. They saw that fig tree was dried up. I mean, it was dried up. Here's the bottom line. A Christian who doesn't produce fruit might as well be taken on to glory. Oh, yeah. Where's the fruit at? Not where the beef is, but where's the fruit? God says, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? I'll tell you who else Jesus would have been wanted by. I'm coming to an end. Now I'm fixing to land this plane. Y'all hang on. I'll tell you, Jesus would have been wanted not only by the EPA, but he'd have been wanted by the board of psychiatrists. How do I know that? He taught people how to live a guilt-free life. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8, and he said, woman, where are thine accuser? She said, I have none, Lord. He said, he's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then Jesus said, that woman, go and sin no more. Let's say that together. Go and sin no more. Say it again. Go and sin no more. He called her repentance. He'd have been wanted by the board of psychiatrists. I'm glad. Wait a minute. I'm glad. Praise God. When the Son sets you free indeed. There's no more condemnation to them that are in Christ. Y'all didn't hear me. I said there's no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Guilt free. Isn't it wonderful to be forgiven? Oh, somebody ought to say thank God for that. But Jesus would have been wanted. Watch this. Now you ladies hold on to your chair. He'd have been wanted by the NOW, National Organization of Women. Why? Because he didn't choose a woman apostle. You know where women's lib got started, don't you? Adam's rib, the big fib, women's lib, all right there. I'm telling you, Jesus used women, but he didn't choose a woman apostle. Man, he'd have been a wanted man. Let me tell you who else he'd have been wanted by. He'd have been wanted by the interfaith movement. Why? Jesus would have been wanted by the interfaith movement. Why? You know why he'd have been wanted by the interfaith movement? Because he condemned other religions. He said, you've got to be born again. You better have more than religion. You must be born again. A man cannot see the kingdom of God except for he be born again. How many believe that's still true? You've got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born? He entered a second time. And he entered his mother's womb a second time. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again. And then, last of all, Jesus would have been wanted by the zoning department. Why? He built a mansion without a permit. John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. I'm telling you today that there can be a turnaround for you and turnaround for me. How many today will believe God and say, God, I want your good hand to be on me like Ezra of old? The Bible says the good hand of God was on Ezra. How many want to be like Esther? Esther, God gave Esther favor. She didn't have fear, but she had favor. Therefore, she could go before the king. Is there anybody here that says, man, I want the favor of God on my life, not fear, but favor? Is there anybody here that says, man, I want God to give me favor with the people in the community. I want God to give me favor on my job. I want God to give me favor in my family. I want God to give me a smile of his grace. Is there anybody here that says, I want the good hand of God to be on me. I want to be like in the days of Moses and God fight some battles for me. I want to be like Daniel and purpose in my heart to not defile myself with the king's wine. Oh yeah, I want to be like Elisha. I need, how many listen to me? Is there anybody here say, man, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God on me. I'm telling you, Jesus said, ask, it should be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. You need to turn around. I'll turn your ashes into beauty. Your mourning into oil of joy, and your garments of heaviness into garments of praise. And the church said, amen. Stand together.